Good morning. I'm Alisa Z. Thanks so much for spending your Sunday morning here with us, listening to the Sunday edition. Yes, it's still March, which means yes, it is still Colon Cancer Awareness Month. And I've talked about this a lot over the years. This is something that is near and dear to my heart. A lot of family members have history of colon cancer, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease. And every year we talk a couple of times about the need to know about colorectal cancer, even though it's not the sexiest discussion topic. It is, however, so important. And there are ways to actually prevent it and, in some cases, keep it from progressing any further. And we all need to know about it and talk about it. The doctor here from Carmanos with me this morning, and I looked at her name and I thought, okay, is it Eliza or Eliza? It is Dr. Eliza Beal. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that you came to join me today. How long have you been with Carmanos?
So I started at Carmanos in September of 22.
Okay. And where were you before?
I did all of my training at The Ohio State University. So I was there. I was there from 2009 until the summer of 2022.
I don't know if I'll ever be used to people calling it the Ohio State University, but you did, and you showed that it's appropriate to give them their props. We can support the product that came out of the school, even if we don't love the school. And I'm a Cleveland native, but I've been in Detroit for many, many years, so I'm also a University of Michigan graduate. Can we still be friends, Eliza?
I did go to the University of Michigan for undergrad, okay. And I grew up in Ann Arbor.
Okay, apropos of nothing we're discussing for the morning, but a U of M grad doing medical school at The Ohio State, who talked to you? Who wanted to be friends with you? Did you sit alone at lunch?
There was actually a large group of us.
Really? Okay, now at the Michigan-Ohio State game, who do you root for?
A complicated question that I don't like to answer in public.
You are so smart. You sure you're a doctor, not a politician? That was a really smart answer. All right, well, my new good friend, Dr. Eliza Beal at Carmanos, what made you go into this area, into gastroenterology and this area, so that you are our expert on colon cancer and such?
I'm actually a surgical oncologist, and I do surgery for patients with problems with their colon and rectum. And then I also take care of patients with liver, pancreas, biliary, esophageal, and gastric cancer. So I do surgery for all of those types of cancer.
Okay. And I want to know how often your phone rings these days asking you to speculate on Kate Middleton.
You know, there hasn't been a lot of conversation about it, but I do have Twitter. On Twitter, it's all anyone's talking about.
Well, and I mean, when we're talking about abdominal surgery, I think the buzz was going around. People were speculating, she had a hysterectomy and she doesn't love William anymore. I'm, like, it's our business, right? But one of the other discussion points, people are wondering if the cancer she's referring to that was discovered after her surgery might be colon cancer. We hear a lot about colon cancer, and if that is her cancer, and again, it's really none of my business, but it's important to talk about it, not just during the month of March every year, but all year long. We need to talk about colorectal cancer. A very dear friend of mine I just spoke with yesterday is a survivor and has gone through myriad surgeries and radiation, and she's here to tell the tale and strong and healthy. I know other people who have had colonoscopies, and they said, we just prevented cancer in me because there were polyps. What do, if someone came to you and said, what would be the number one thing you'd want to share with people about why they should get screened for colon cancer? What would that be?
So, you know, this is really our call for to action for today is to request a colonoscopy consultation to discuss with your primary care provider. Certainly, we do provide them at Carmanos, and we'd be happy to help people out. So I think the main reasons to get a colonoscopy are that it can both detect and actually prevent colon cancer. So there are other types of colorectal cancer screening, but the advantage of a colonoscopy is that it can identify both existing cancers and also precancerous lesions called polyps. And if polyps are identified, they can actually often be removed during the colonoscopy itself. After they're removed, they get sent to a pathologist, looked at under the microscope to prove that they're really just polyps and not cancer. And then the provider can give you a recommendation on when to get your next colonoscopy. So the real advantage of a colonoscopy is kind of preventing the cancer before it starts.
Before we talk about the next colonoscopy, when should we be getting our first colonoscopy?
Absolutely. So the U.S. Preventative Task Force and the American Gastroenterological Association.
Say that 10 times fast.
Both recommend colon cancer screening for average risk individuals beginning at the age of 45. And it's typically not recommended after the age of 85, although that's definitely a personal discussion you should have with your healthcare provider.
Okay.
There are patients who should have colonoscopies earlier than 45. So, for example, if a first-degree family member, like, for example, your father developed colon cancer at 47, you should actually have a colonoscopy 10 years before the age of the earliest family member was diagnosed. So if your father developed colon cancer at 47, you should have one at 37. There are some other times to get one. So if you do develop any symptoms, you definitely want to seek treatment and also discuss whether or not you should have a colonoscopy. So those kind of symptoms would be like changes in bowel habits, so diarrhea or constipation that are different than your normal bowel movements, bright red or dark blood in the stool, stools that are narrower than usual, frequent gas pain, bloating, fullness or cramps, weight loss that, you know, when you're not working on it, and feeling very tired or kind of like unexplained vomiting can all be signs. And definitely important times to go see your primary care provider or to request a colonoscopy. There are some patients who have a known higher risk of colon cancer. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you had mentioned earlier ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, and there are other genetic disorders as well. So when there's a known genetic mutation in a family, that would be a reason to seek out a discussion with your primary care provider, genetic counseling, and kind of appropriate cancer screening based on your family's specific genetic condition.
And talking about the primary care physician, this is something I know, especially through the pandemic, people have gotten away from their regular annual checkups. And I spoke with an MDVIP physician recently saying people they're burnt out from being patients because they don't want to wait 3 to 4 months to get an appointment. And then once they get there, they're waiting who knows how long. Urgent care is not a place to go when you're trying to get your screenings for your colonoscopy. We need to emphasize how important it is to get that primary care physician, have a good rapport and good relationship with that doctor, and visit them regularly, right?
Absolutely. And so two things. First, you can actually request a colonoscopy consultation directly at carmanos.org/colon screening or by calling 1-800-CARMANOS. And we can communicate with your primary care provider for you to obtain an appropriate referral. And then, you know, there are so many good reasons to see your primary care provider. Mm-hmm. I think preventative health is really important. So managing your diet, your exercise, your weight, you know, early diagnosis of other chronic medical conditions that can be treated, hypertension, diabetes, heart failure. And then additionally, colon cancer screening is really important, and that's what we're here to talk about. But one other thing that is really important to kind of maintain throughout your life is other age-appropriate cancer screening. So mm-hmm. women should have mammography and screening for cervical cancer. And, you know, people with a history of smoking and other groups should have appropriate screening for lung cancer. And men can have screening for prostate cancer. And so those are important things to discuss with your primary care provider as well. And we do provide many of those services at Carmanos also.
That's very helpful to know. Get to your doctor. You don't want to always just be running when you have symptoms of something. Go because you're getting a checkup. You need to check on these things. Now, when we talk about colon cancer, we talk about colorectal cancer. People talk about stomach cancer. I have one grandpa who died of stomach cancer, another who had colon cancer. How disparate are those, or how similar are they? And then when we get to colorectal cancer, is that sort of a foregone conclusion? If you have one, you get the other. How can you decipher some of that? Distill it down for us, please.
Absolutely. So the human GI tract is made up of separate parts. So typically we describe the section that goes from your mouth to your stomach as the esophagus, and that's mostly in your chest. And then the stomach is the first part of the GI tract in the abdomen. And then we have the small bowel, and then the colon, and then the rectum. And the colon's the first part of the large bowel, and then the rectum is the part that connects to the anus and is mostly located in the pelvis. Okay. And the more we learn about cancer, the more we learn that these cancers are not as similar as we may have first thought. And for esophageal, which is a cancer of the esophagus, mm-hmm. gastric, which is cancer of the stomach, colon, which is that first part of the large bowel, and rectum, those four types of cancer are actually treated very distinctly. And many of the same providers take care of them. So it's just important to kind of see the right people if you do receive a diagnosis. And in the case specifically of colon and rectal cancer, that typically for colon cancer includes a surgical oncologist or a colon or rectal surgeon and a medical oncologist. And then for rectal cancer, I would add a radiation oncologist, because the mm-hmm. treatment of rectal cancer typically involves radiation as well.
For my friend, I know that it did. But it's important. What you just said is so important about how different these cancers are. I think a lot of people think, oh, cancer is cancer. It just matters where it hits, if God forbid it does hit you. But different body parts are different and need to be treated as such. So again, we're back to the primary care physician, or call Carmanos and get some guidance. Find out where perhaps you need to go to get the appropriate check, the appropriate screening, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's important to note, too, that as we learn more and more about each specific type of cancer, we found more information about kind of the molecular status, the genetic status of a tumor. And that does contribute to our ability to provide more personalized care for some patients who may have a specific mutation in their bodies or in their tumor specifically.
This is all, I mean, it gets kind of scary. It's hard for people to talk about. Nobody wants to say that C word because it's terrifying. And when a friend calls us and said, I was just diagnosed with cancer, we always ask, did they catch it early? What stage was it? What kind is it? What's the treatment plan? And those are part of our coping mechanisms as people on the outside. But what should the questions be for someone given that diagnosis, say, of colon cancer? What should the first questions be?
So I think seeking out treatment at a cancer center is really important.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have someone who's experienced in taking care of cancer at that site. And then, yeah, I think in terms of kind of questions for patients to ask their providers would be, you know, to really summarize kind of like, what's the plan?
Yes.
We do have national and international guidelines that help us take care of patients with cancer. So, for example, many providers would consult with the National Comprehensive Cancer Network guidelines for treating a specific cancer.
Okay.
And those guidelines lay out a plan,
mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of workup should be done, and then kind of treatment based on that workup. There are actually patient versions of these available as well, and you can Google it. So NCCN patient colon cancer, and find the specific guideline geared towards a patient online. And I think those can be really helpful, especially in that first time when you've been diagnosed and maybe your appointment with a specialist isn't for a few days or even a few weeks, can help to kind of fill in some of those knowledge gaps beforehand and help you know what questions to ask your provider.
To do your preparation.
Absolutely.
We're going to pause for a quick moment. You'll hang around a little bit longer, yes?
Absolutely.
I'm so glad. Thank you. I am joined today by Dr. Eliza Beal, surgical oncologist representing Carmanos Cancer Institute. Thank you so much for being here with us today, doctor.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you all for spending your Sunday morning here. Once again, I'm Alisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday Edition. Good morning. Thank you again and still for spending your Sunday morning here with us, listening to the Sunday Edition. I'm joined this morning by Dr. Eliza Beal, a surgical oncologist. I want to give you your props. Now, I will tell you, Eliza did her undergrad at University of Michigan, even though she became a doctor at The Ohio State. So, and she wouldn't answer the question about who she roots for. She was very politically correct in that response. It's complicated, and I won't talk about it in public. You are a wise woman, Eliza. I can tell you are a wise, wise woman. Thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me.
So we're talking about Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, cancer screenings. Carmanis is a name we all know, and we discussed that many of us don't know how to pronounce it. So Jasmine here, yes, you get a shout out, Jasmine. You told us Carman, and then it rhymes with kiss, Carmanis. So everybody listening, that is how we pronounce it from here on out. And next time I make a mistake, Jasmine, please correct me. But Carmanis Cancer Institute. And I'm so grateful you're here because this is not an easy subject for a lot of people to talk about, especially when it comes to screenings. So we've all heard about colonoscopies. Many people we know, especially over 45, have had at least one colonoscopy. And then they go, oh, thank goodness, I don't need another one for several years. What's the aversion to getting a colonoscopy?
So I just want to reiterate that colonoscopy is the gold standard screening for colorectal cancer because it can both identify and prevent colorectal cancers. So if there is a cancer, it can be biopsied. And then if there is a precancerous lesion, a polyp, it can typically be removed during colonoscopy. You don't usually receive biopsy results or removal of precancerous lesions during many other types of cancer screening. So that's kind of special about colonoscopies.
Sure.
So I think a big part of the aversion is that it's an invasive procedure that you have to go to the hospital for. You know, you get sedation. And you also have to do a bowel prep starting the day before your colonoscopy to kind of clean things out.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that that needs to be done is so that we can get a clear view of the entire surface of the colon during the procedure. Another advantage of colonoscopy is that if everything is normal and your average risk for colon cancer, then you won't need another colonoscopy for 10 years. If you're high risk and we do find polyps, you'll have to screen more frequently, and that'll be depending on the findings on the colonoscopy. But again, the advantage of that is that lesions can be identified before they become cancer, or cancers can be identified early.
I'm here to tell you, while yes, the prep is not pleasant, the nap you get to take during what's a colonoscopy take? 20 minutes? It's not long, but at least when I've been, they've used that twilight, and it's like, boom, I'm out, and then I'm awake, and I'm refreshed. I don't go driving or anything because I've been under sedation, but I'm here to tell you, you get a nice little power nap, and perhaps your life has just been saved. So many bonuses, right? Not necessarily equal bonuses, but many, many bonuses to getting that colonoscopy when necessary, right?
Absolutely.
We all see the commercials for Cologuard, the little dancing box on our screens, which always kind of cracks me up. We've got, I guess that's the way we need to grab our attention, is cartoon characters and such talking about getting colon screenings. Tell me, if you will, please, with something like a Cologuard or anything like that, where it's a do-it-yourself kit and then you mail it off and get the results, how accurate are those? Are they accurate? Are they good? Because I got to believe there's some merit, right?
Absolutely. So the Cologuard testing can be recommended every 1 to 3 years, starting at age 45 to about age 75, as a method of colorectal cancer screening in patients of average risk. So, for example, if you have a genetic mutation in your family, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, or a history of previous polyps identified on colonoscopy, then Cologuard is not for you. But for people of average risk starting at age 45, every 1 to 3 years, it can be used. And, you know, the advantage is that it's a do-it-yourself at home kit you can mail in without having to come to the hospital, get sedation, do a bowel prep. The disadvantage is that while it can suggest that you may have a colon cancer, it doesn't visualize the cancer. The cancer isn't biopsied, but based on the Cologuard, and polyps cannot be removed. So it's a really different test than a colonoscopy.
Well, and eventually, shouldn't everybody get a colonoscopy regardless?
I think so. So, again, starting at age 45, and then the screening interval after that would be determined based on what's found on the first colonoscopy.
So remember, maybe these do-it-yourself at-home kits can be helpful. There's a lot that is missed, and they are not a substitute in the long run for a colonoscopy. We're also hearing about blood tests to detect colorectal cancer. And I'm guessing that this screening, I mean, maybe it's a cut above a Cologuard, I don't know. Maybe it's a cut below. Maybe we don't know enough about it. But I know that we are seeing some companies come out with blood tests where they say we can detect colon cancer. Do you know anything about those?
So these types of tests are currently fairly investigational, so they're still being explored, and I think their role in the screening and early diagnosis of colon cancer is still somewhat in question. We are working to incorporate these type of tests in our surveillance for patients who've already had a colon or rectal cancer that has been successfully treated, but I think especially in the screening arena, they're fairly experimental.
I know one, I think it's this month or next month, is about to get FDA approval. But again, it's new. And why not go for the gold, right? Yeah.
And they do, you know, still have some of the disadvantages of the Cologuard testing, which is that, you know, if they do suggest that you may have a colon cancer, you'll still need a colonoscopy.
Right.
And that they, you know, don't have the advantage of removing polyps at the same time.
It's just also scary. Yeah, you know, that's the thing that I think is why people avoid going to the doctor at all. I have known so many people, and I'm not casting aspersions one way or the other, but the vast majority of people I've seen with the attitude I'm about to suggest have been men. Plenty of women do this too, but so many people say, I don't want to know. It's scary. It's frightening. All the other stuff aside of, oh, it's not going to be comfortable, and it's terrifying, even if you feel perfectly healthy and wonderful, to think, what if, God forbid, I go in for this test and they find something? Obviously, things are there whether we look or not. So we may as well look and save our lives, right?
I think it's, you know, it's important to acknowledge that, you know, the potential of having a cancer diagnosis is scary.
Of course.
And my kind of like recommendation would be to get screening tests early and as often as recommended, because they allow the diagnosis of tumors you typically at an earlier stage than if you wait for bothersome symptoms to develop. And if cancers are diagnosed at an earlier stage, they can be treated and sometimes even cured. Colorectal cancer, many patients in the United States are cured of colorectal cancer using a combination of different therapies. And so if you can identify them early, then it retains that possibility.
And then it becomes a lot less scary because you're here to tell the tale, right?
Definitely. And I think, you know, that's one reason I recommend seeking care at a cancer center, is that you have a team of expert providers who take care of patients with your type of cancer, who can provide the best recommendations for care.
And that's why you go to a place like Carmanis. Now that I know how to say it, I want to say it over and over. Carmanis, Carmanis, Carmanis. But that is a reason to go to a place like a Carmanis Cancer Institute, because there is a team. There are many specialists, and you're in great hands when there's a team tending to what you're going to need, right?
Yes, and I think, you know, a cancer center like Carmanis has the gastroenterologists and oncologists who do colonoscopies. We have genetic counselors for patients who have a family history of colon cancer. We provide genetic testing, medical oncologists, surgical oncologists, radiation oncologists. And supportive care, you know, we kind of have the whole spectrum of providers that you would need to handle a diagnosis of colorectal cancer.
Are we seeing more cases of colorectal cancer with higher obesity rates? Is there a component of coexisting events there?
Obesity is a risk factor for colon and rectal cancer, and there are there are only so many factors we can control. So,
right.
For example, your genetics and your age aren't factors you can control. You're going to age a little bit every day no matter what you do. But there are some factors you can control, and what you eat or what you consume is one of the main ones. So eating a high-fiber diet, mm-hmm. calcium, garlic, non-starchy vegetables can help prevent colon cancer, and consuming processed meats, red meats, animal fat, and sugar, as well as heavy alcohol use, can increase your risk for colon cancer, and smoking also increases your risk. So a well-balanced plant-based diet with mm-hmm. low consumption of alcohol and meat is the best.
Physical activity, we know that that's important to our overall health. Do we know if that affects our cancer risks?
I don't know that there's a specific tie to the risk for colon and rectal cancer, but
physical, it's still a good thing to do.
It is, and physical activity is very important for, let's say you are to be diagnosed with a cancer, for being eligible for all of the treatment options, for
yes.
being fit enough to undergo surgery or to undergo chemotherapy or radiation.
Before I let you go for the day, is there any stone we've left unturned, anything you'd like to reiterate about Carmanis, about screening for colorectal cancer, about anything at all that you think, doctor, is important for us to know to keep ourselves healthy?
I think I would just reiterate our call to action, which is that you can request a colonoscopy consultation at carmanis.org/colon screening or by calling 1-800-CARMANIS.
And again, let's remind people, go to your primary care physicians regularly, get those annual checkups, find out what your risk factors are, and do what you can. Like you said, doctor, there are so few things that are in our control. When we get in the car, put the seatbelt on, right? It won't necessarily make us immune from an accident. However, it can minimize the risk of bad things happening in the aftermath, right?
Yes.
So important. Let's give that website one more time, please.
It's carmanis.org/colon screening or call 1-800-CARMANIS.
And Carmanis is K-R-M-A-N-O-S. Do I get an A plus? K-A-R-M-A-N-O-S. Carmanis, hooray. And can you use it in a sentence? Jasmine, thank you for reminding us of how to pronounce it. It's so important. And it was bothering me. Dr. Eliza Wright Beal, thank you so very much for all that you do for us. I appreciate you.
Thank you again for having me.
It's been my pleasure, and thank you all for spending your Sunday morning here with us. Once again, I'm Elisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday Edition.